Mother's Day is around the corner. Find the perfect gift for the mom in your life with a stunning piece of jewelry from Blue Nile. From timeless pearls to dazzling gemstones, Blue Nile has something she'll adore. Need it fast? Most items can ship overnight. Plus, enjoy guaranteed free shipping and returns. Don't miss our special Mother's Day deals. Save big on the season's most beautiful trends. For a limited time, get up to 50% off by going to BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
This is the Michael K. Show podcast. Listen live weekday afternoon starting at 3 on 98.7 ESPN in New York, the ESPN app, the TuneIn app, or on your smart speaker.
Hey Alexa, play 98.7 ESPN.
All right. The Knicks with a big win last night. How do you not get excited about it? And really now the Garden is Eden. It really is. You got the Knicks, who are a legitimately very good team.
You're big on the Bible references.
That's right. I'm very religious. Yeah. And then you've got the Rangers and the debut of Patrick Antoinette King.
Antoinette?
Not really.
But named after, it's his grandma.
It's a family name, yeah.
But it honestly, how often do you acquire in New York a future Hall of Famer?
Future Hall of Famer.
The Jets did it with Brett Favre. It was one and done. It could be one and done with Kane because he's a free agent at the end of the year. But you have a chance to possibly win a championship with him. When was the last time the Yankees acquired a future Hall of Famer?
Frankie Montas.
Obviously, that's quite down the road.
He could.
Maybe he's going to be a Hall of Fame bowler something. I don't know, but he's not on his way to the Hall of Fame as a pitcher.
You never know. The surgery could have been very successful.
I mean, the Mets acquiring Max Scherzer. I mean, he's a future Hall of Famer, right?
David Justice was a great player. He's not a future Hall of Famer.
No. Very good, though.
I guess when they got Alex, even though he's Hall of Fame caliber.
And that was not in the middle of the season.
Right.
That was right before spring training.
So right in the middle of a season.
David Cohn was not a Hall of Famer, but I believe he should have greater consideration. He was picked up in 95. He went 9-2, helped them get into the playoffs.
But this is a lock Hall of Famer.
Right.
So it doesn't happen very often. Seriously. So, I can't convince you if you're not a hockey fan, but if you're just like a casual observer of sports, this is a pretty significant moment, and nobody puts on a show like The Garden, so it's going to be a cool place to be. I mean, everybody at the radio station's going.
Except Peter.
And Peter's not going, but he could probably be convinced.
Why are you good? Why can't you go? Don't you want to meet our listeners at the pavilion?
I am on Tuesday.
Oh, but these are different listeners.
We're
on the Reach Out and Touch tour.
I'm reaching. I'm touching.
I got up at 6 in the morning today, and I'm going.
6 in the morning,
A little iced tea?
Yeah.
Tell everyone I say hello.
Wow, what a jerk.
And did you see what a fraud Winthrop is?
He's got the whole
shows up
gear.
Wearing his Rangers shirt.
One of my guys, Luke Miller, who, by the way, loves you.
Yes, I've heard that. I love Luke.
Yeah.
Luke.
Yankees acquired Ichiro midseason. That's a Hall of Famer.
That is true.
Yep.
So that would be the last time the Yankees did it. Mets, Scherzer was offseason. So,
right.
Acquiring them. It doesn't happen very often. In all sports. It never happens in football.
And usually future Hall of Famers don't get traded all that often.
Well, certainly in the free agent era where you're going to lose them for nothing, then they end up getting moved. But this is pretty big, and I think it could be the missing piece to something really special. Devils are hot. Islanders are in the playoffs right now. The Nets are going to screw things up, aren't they?
Yes, they are.
The Nets might be the one winter team that might bow out of here. I mean, I didn't think it was possible, Michael, but after watching last night, is it crazy? Remember, the Bulls are the 11th seed. They just crushed the Nets.
Yeah.
So could they pull a 4-16 and completely miss?
And here's what worries me about the Nets. It's not for lack of talent. They are not as bad as they played last night. You have taken their heart away. So not only do they have to integrate all these new players into a lineup and or rotation, but the guys that are left over, they've lost their soul. They can't believe what. So I don't want to take away from the Knick win yesterday. And you know what? I'm only going to amplify how big the Knick win was for this reason. These are games the Knicks would lose. Early this year, these are the games the Knicks would lose. The game that you thought was a sure thing that they were going to crush a team, they would end up stubbing their toe, come out, not play hard. They did exactly what they were supposed to do to the Nets. They ripped out their throat, and then they threw garbage down their neck. That's what they did. The Nets in the first quarter were done.
Yeah.
They didn't even compete. They didn't compete the rest of the game.
They took
it's an embarrassment what they did.
They took the will away from a team that needed the game.
Yeah.
Now, granted, they played the night before, and you had mentioned it, Michael. They gave a heck of an effort against the Bucks, who went ahead, you know, won that game, and then what? They won their 16th in a row last night.
Yeah, they played the day after, and they were fine.
Right, but they're one of, if not the best teams. It's between them and the Celtics, the two best teams in the NBA. So the Nets had some built-in excuses, but they also should be pumped up, right? In the Garden, meaningful game, mano a mano against the other team in town, and let's be honest, they soiled themselves almost the way they played in that half.
It was rough.
I mean, you gave up more. They never gave up 81 points and a half in their history.
Yeah, it was unbelievable. I was so excited about watching that game, and then it was just such a letdown. I got a quick story to tell you.
Interesting.
So I did the game yesterday and then the show, and I was in the Yes Studios.
Okay.
Which then I'm driving home. And I get into my house about 7:24.
Oh, that's nice. Good time.
Right? Okay. And I walk in, and our au pair is sitting on the couch.
Okay.
And on the TV is Mike Breen doing his open.
He does a hell of a job.
On MSG. And Hannah, our au pair, goes, is this true? She's from Germany. So she has a little bit of an accent. Is this true? I said, what? What Charlie's saying? And then Charlie pops out from behind the wall. I didn't see him. And he goes, I told her that Mike Breen is my godfather and Callie's. I said, well, why did you do that? It's not true. He goes, really? It's not true? I thought it was true. I said, what made you think that?
That's reasonable. I think it's actually, yeah, I thought it
was
Charlie.
Yeah, I was. That's what I thought.
And he said, is he your best friend? I said, yeah. He goes, it makes sense that he'd be my godfather, right?
Just assumed it.
Right. I said, no, that's not how it works, Charlie. He's not your godfather.
Who is?
My sister and her husband.
The uncle.
Yeah.
That makes sense.
Right. And Callie was the one who knew. She came from the other room and said, I told him it wasn't true. And she dropped the mic and walked away.
But why would the au pair be so shocked by it, though?
Because, like,
to her, it's a random
person
on television.
She's seeing a guy on TV and Charlie saying, well, that's my godfather. I told Mike Breen the story. He was laughing, but then he was so touched. He and Charlie have a great relationship. It's unbelievable.
Really?
Yeah, they really have a great...
So he should be the godfather, perhaps.
You think so? Well, you could be like a Jace, Godfather Jace.
Godfather, yeah, well, he already is that.
How's that?
Well, obviously, Charlie thinks of him as godfather.
Well, but I don't think that Mike and Roseanne, who've raised three adult children who are now essentially out of the house, mm-hmm. like if Jody and I have this untimely death, that they're going to raise Charlie.
Well, then
Callie.
He's not a good friend.
Well, he's already done that.
I know, but I understand, but you
That's
can't
the
worry
job.
About inconveniencing them. This is your best friend. God forbid something happens to you. Sorry, Mike. Guess what? You got two young kids. Get to work.
I don't think that's right.
That's exactly how it works. My that's how it's going to happen with my brother.
Oh boy.
Right? I mean, Abby's out of the house now. He's got an empty nest. He's all excited. He's taking spare rooms, making wrestling museums. Guess what? You got two kids if something happens to me and Nancy. Tough.
Yeah,
sorry.
No, this is going to hurt Don.
All right? You're going to have to stop watching Planet of the Apes and take care of Marco and Jaylen.
This is going to hurt Don a lot. He's not going to like this, Peter.
All right, go ahead.
I think that Dave would then turn to the authorities. There's no way he's raising.
He would do what he did with
foster home.
Yeah, he would. I love these kids.
Nancy doesn't have any siblings.
Listen, this is good radio. I mean, I could just say Susan's going to take the kids and then we move on.
Who is
Susan?
Nancy says
yes. Yeah.
Yeah.
And it would be good radio.
That's the answer.
Let me tell you this. I think for the safety and well-being of your children, you'd be better off giving the kids to his co-host Bully Ray, okay, than you would be to give them to your brother. He's a maniac.
Well, that was just funny. I mean, listen, God forbid, this is a very morbid conversation.
I know.
Well,
but we go there.
Neither of you are spring chicken.
No.
Would they refer, was it Rose? What's
my mom?
No, Mike's wife.
Roseanne.
Uh-huh. Are they aunt and uncle? Like, will Charlie and Callie refer to him as Uncle Mike?
The first time they met them, they called them Mr. Breen and Mrs. Breen, and they said, no, Mike and Roseanne. So they don't say aunt. No.
They said Mr. out of the gate. Wow.
In my life,
my children
Peter,
are raised.
Polite. Honestly,
even
I would
friends.
Think, this is all serious. I would say half the aunts and uncles from my childhood were not really related to me.
Really?
Because, I don't know, because, well, my parents, it's like if they were, like, my mom's best friend when I was a kid was Mary Jane Gorell. And we called her Aunt Mary Jane.
I thought about you when I was driving home yesterday, because I got to be honest, I was angry with both of you.
Angry.
And I didn't even think about Peter. I thought about you. And I thought about...
Oh, no.
I thought about your dad. I never met the man, but I think I would love him because he was a tough dude and didn't take any nonsense. Right?
Yeah.
So for those that didn't hear the end of the show yesterday, you know, Peter hit me with a would you, like if Jody had one momentary indiscretion, right? What, you know, I said our marriage would be over. And then Don backed up Peter. That's ridiculous. One mistake.
Mm-hmm.
If your mom did that to your dad, how do you think that play out?
It wouldn't play out well.
Okay, that's
but that doesn't make it right.
It does make it right.
No. There's a lot of things.
You worship your dad.
Not all of his beliefs and ideas did he worship.
He worships his dad.
Everyone worships their dad, but he didn't want to be the exact same man his dad was.
You know what? It wouldn't be a bad thing. The man sounds
great. No, it actually would be. If you don't advance from what your father was, you have failed.
I think what you strive to do is always be a little bit better than the previous generation, because you try to evolve as people, right? So, listen, he grew up in a time where it was just the man-woman thing was a lot different, right? A lot different. And I think that plays into it.
If you were the same as dads were, let's just be honest. If you're the same dad in 2023 that your dad was in 1975, you're a terrible dad.
Right, and
it's an absolute fail. He was great for the time, but the times have changed.
Oh, and my dad was better than my grandfather.
Right.
I told you the story. My dad used to tell me like how good I had it growing up. Because when it was bedtime when my dad was growing up, my grandfather, who I never met, his name was Marco.
I remember this, I think. Go ahead.
He passed before I was born. He would bend the newspaper down and say, "Good night, Don," and then bend the newspaper back up. If he bent the newspaper back down and my father were still sitting there, he'd catch a beat.
Well, you can't do that anymore. But
right, but then, so my and then that didn't happen to me because my father evolved. Now, he was strict as hell, but he had certain beliefs and certain things that were cool at that time, and then I move on.
If your dad, I wish this was the case, and I'd love to have met him because he and I are like lockstep.
You don't know
if your dad was still alive. And he found out that Nancy cheated on you, and you forgave her, he would disown you.
Disown? That's very strong. Even for your dad, that would be strong.
Now, he said that everybody was an aunt or an uncle, right?
Yeah.
So Rick DiPietro charged
him. You've been smiling at your phone like you got a text from Rihanna for the last 5 minutes.
He said it makes it much easier to explain the morning after a key party if it's auntie or uncle sneaking out of the house.
You know what? I'm not going to last long. Next time I see him, I'm going to punch him right in the forehead.
Oh, that would be
Tonight, no?
That wouldn't
Is
be.
He
no, he's not going.
No, he's got no he's guts to go to the game.
Oh.
No, come on. Leave my mom out of it, all right?
Yeah, we're talking serious stuff.
This is interesting. My brother tell you the story. I had an Aunt Dolores my whole life. She lived in Totowa, New Jersey. We went to visit her before she passed away.
Of course. If she passed away, you couldn't visit her.
No, but she was in my life. Aunt Dolores. Then when she passed away, we're sitting there at the repast conversation. Not related. She was just like a really close friend of my dad. I thought she was like related to me. Everybody was an aunt and uncle. If you were like, if you hung out with our family, you were uncle whoever, aunt whoever, and I had more of them than actual aunts and uncles.
Kitty,
is that strange?
No, that's normal. I didn't have that, but a lot of people
we
do.
We only call biological people aunt or uncle.
But wouldn't it make sense for your kids call Mike Breen Uncle Mike?
Why?
He's your best friend.
Hold on real quick. When the kids are little,
right,
and you have your best friends over, you don't say Uncle So and So.
No.
Oh, all my friends do that. Call me Uncle Pete. My friends' kids.
No.
I've known them since they were babies.
It's a sign of affection.
It's not the right way to raise a child.
Well, what do you mean it's not the right way to raise a child? What is
so
the right way?
So if I came over the house.
Mr. Rogers.
Would Marco and Jay Lynn call me Uncle Michael? No.
Yeah, why not?
They would not.
No, if you came by the house all the time and you were like a regular part of their life.
So yes. The sketchy guy who brings cookies, they call him Uncle?
No, that's different.
The guy on the
Carlos.
Uncle Carlos?
They call him Carlos? No, they don't call him Uncle Carlos.
Okay,
we're not that close
a relationship.
I mean, I like the guy. We hang out. But it's like, I'm talking about people that have been in my life a long time. You know, it's Jimmy and John Stark. It's going to be Uncle Jimmy, Uncle John.
I have a theory.
Right?
We were talking about dads, evolving as dads.
Mm-hmm.
I have a theory Dads didn't really start being truly great dads, I'd say, until 2007.
You're crazy. My dad was great.
Listen, I can only speak for the dads that I knew. And
so
my
your dad
own.
Wasn't a good dad.
Love my dad. But the reason I say father's mother, Jace, my mom was at most of my baseball games to see me sit on the bench. When I tell you my dad, I don't think ever went to one. I mean, never went
to
one.
Was he working?
Yes. But that's my point. In this era, dads work and manage to take their kids to everything. It's a whole...
There are things that I do with my kids.
Your dad wouldn't dream of.
That my dad would do, but not feel any sense of obligation. He would just do it because he wanted to. And if he didn't want to, he wouldn't do it.
Right.
All right. Let's go to the phones.
And more often than not, they didn't want
it. Anthony in the car. Anthony, talk to us, baby.
Don, the other two don't know it. They don't have a vowel at the end of their name. Come on.
Yeah, it's very Italian.
I have a vowel.
Everybody.
Sometimes why?
yeah. That a Jace. A Jace.
That's the definition of a Jace.
Wise vowel a Jace? That's right.
Captain Literal Man, Jalen Brunson, most valuable player.
Oh, stop yourself. Anthony, slow down.
Let me just be the Knicks fan.
Okay.
Now, that was it. That was it.
Really?
Now,
have you watched Antetokounmpo play? Have you watched
No, I only watched the Knicks.
Okay. Brunson's had a great year. You're not the MVP.
He'll get
the
votes,
NBA.
Though.
Oh, okay. But
if they finish as a four seed, he'll get votes.
He's not going to win.
Oh, but he'll get votes.
He just said he's the MVP.
Well, he let him have fun. He's a Knicks fan.
I get it, and I'm spitting truth.
I know, but
just like I did about Randall a couple of years ago.
All right, but can you let the guy have fun?
Listen, he can have fun. I don't have to advocate for it.
Well, hold on though. let's play along here. Let's play it out. The Knicks somehow go on a run.
The voting is done after the last regular season game.
No. The Knicks go on a run. Let me just pull up the standings right here. The Knicks go on a run.
Keep
they pass the Knicks go on a run. And
I've heard this, yeah.
Yeah. Well, the Knicks, hear me out. The Knicks go on a run.
Oh.
And they jump Cleveland and Philly.
Right.
They get the three spot.
Right.
They finish the season 22 games above 500.
Right.
Jalen Brunson could end up in the conversation. That would mean the team, since he showed up, their record would be so astounding. How could you not consider? Now, I agree with you. Giannis at this point, with a team that does not know how to lose.
But Jokic is going to win for the third straight year.
And Jokic will probably win.
They'll get votes.
By the way, though.
He will.
Giannis has one.
Yeah, he won before.
Giannis has one.
Won two.
Jokic has two.
Two in a row. It's interesting because Jokic is not the best basketball player in the NBA. But he's won the MVP the last 2 years.
No, it's interesting.
Let's go to Ethan in Long Island. Ethan.
Hey, guys. Big fan. Quick question, switching to baseball. Michael, specifically, is there anything in the rules that says a catcher has to throw the ball back immediately? I think, like, if they wanted to buy time, can he just hang on to it for 15 seconds, call a pitch, and buy time that way, or is there something in the rules?
There is something in the rules that any kind of move that is trying to circumvent the clock will be called on the catcher. So the catcher doesn't have to throw it immediately when it's in his hand, but it has to be within a second. And then, you know, Tom Verducci had an interesting story on SI.com. There are pitchers, Don, I'm sure you've seen this, where they deliver a ball and they come halfway down the mound between the home plate, and they get the ball back, and then they
climb
back.
Oh, yeah.
Can't do you can do it, but you're robbing yourself of time.
Yeah, you are.
So you turn your back on the catcher, you walk back to the top of the rubber, and then receive the ball because then you're in place to throw it. But if you get it in the middle, and then you've got to retrace your steps, you're wasting precious time. I like these rules. You were here when they instituted, except for the runner at second. I love them now. Love them. There's been so much wasted time in baseball that is now completely evaporated. Do you know that Wandy Peralta today in the game the Yankees had the Pirates?
Oh, I do, and it made me think something very interesting.
Struck out a batter, Don, in 20 seconds.
So here's my question for you then, because I meant to bring this up earlier when I saw the Peralta thing on Twitter. Could over the next season, two, three seasons, speed of strikeout become a thing that you actually talk about?
Could be.
Where people actually care about that's the fastest strikeout of all time.
The way FanDuel will have numbers on it.
Hey, that could be fun. They ingest numbers the way they do, break down numbers. I could see there being like the top 10 fastest strikeouts by a pitcher or something like that.
Why not?
Why not?
How about this, everybody? Keep it locked to the show, because guess what? At 6 o'clock, not only is there ENN, but there are tickets to WWE at MSG. Sunday, March 12th, Seth Rollins and Austin Theory in a steel cage match. 20-man battle royal. The winner faces Gunther for the Intercontinental Championship.
It is pain. By the way,
my interview with Gunther is coming out tomorrow on the Cheap Heat podcast, wherever you find podcasts. So, Cody Rhodes will be there, Charlotte, so many more, all brought to you by WWE. Tickets just at $20 right now at Ticketmaster.com, but I'm giving some out during ENN.
I was listening to the Nick pregame show driving home last night, and Tom Thibodeau gave me a line that I am going to use all the time when I have debates with analytic front offices.
Okay.
All right, so you know that I'm all in. I get it.
Yes.
But sometimes
it's a bit much.
So Thibodeau said this about analytics and numbers. He said, you could torture numbers any way you want in order to get them to say what you want them to say. And that's true.
That's really good.
And it's you can find some kind of algorithm that will prove the hypothesis that you went into hoping to prove.
Yeah.
And that's where I think it becomes fugazi. There are times that numbers could be wrong or might disprove what you believe. But I think a lot of analytics go into it with a preconceived notion and they pick the right number. Like last year, Yankees swore that IKF was one of the best shortstops in baseball. And the numbers they used said that he was seventh best. But there's another respected numbers when it comes to defensive analytics that said he was 20th.
I know.
They didn't subscribe to that. They subscribed to the numbers that were seven. So you could torture numbers any way you want to have them say what you want them to say.
One of the most amazing debates I ever got into on this air was probably 10:50 at the time when I was doing a show with Max Kellerman. Michael, and you're a big baseball guy, so you could appreciate this. We got into a fight. Who was a better player, Alfonso Soriano or Mike Cameron? He said it was Mike Cameron.
Right.
Because he had a stat that he valued more than I did. I forget what it was that made him a better player. When everybody with eyeballs would tell you that Alfonso Soriano was a better player than Mike Cameron, but he focused on this one piece of analytics that he valued more than everybody else, and that's all it is. You've decided to take something, and you're going to win the debate because you believe that on-base percentage is the most important, or this stat or that stat's the most important. How are you supposed to fight them?
You could torture numbers whichever way you want in order to get them to say what you want.
But you
Thank you, Tom.
But here's the thing with stats. It's not supposed to tell you what you want. It's supposed to tell you what is.
But if you have a preconceived notion of what you want the stat to say, you can pick out the numbers that will make it stay.
And can you imagine, Michael, how difficult it is to build teams when you're looking at analytics? You know, everybody's trying to build a great team.
Wow.
Finding the right people can be a challenge. Look at the Rangers, what they did. They went on and got Tarasenko, went and got Mott. Now they got Kane. They got to get all the pieces to fit to make the run for the cup.
Thanks for listening to the Michael K. Show podcast.
Hey, buddy, hey.
Catch the show on demand wherever you want. Just subscribe to us wherever you get your podcasts.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sportsbook bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPNpods. That's amazon.com/ESPNpods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
Let's go to Mark in Piscataway. Mark.
Hey, good afternoon, guys.
Pandemonium in Piscataway.
What's up, Mark?
Well, my question is, I'm really interested in your comments, I guess. The length of baseball games really turned me off, but the other thing that really turned me off was the uncountable number of foul balls that just, you know, the game goes on and on and on because, you know, full count, another foul ball, another foul ball.
Because of velocity.
It accomplishes nothing.
Yep.
And slows everything down. What's the purpose or point of all this? Why can't they just say, you get four of them and that's it? Or you get five of them, that's it, you're out.
That's interesting.
Well, I mean, that would be such a drastic
change.
That's
the next. That would be the next one, though.
But they're hoping, Mark, that by forcing pitchers to throw every 15 seconds, they're not going to be able to reload and throw as hard as they used to. And I think a lot of the velocity caused a lot of foul balls.
Now, was it Gary Sheffield who said that if he wanted to, he'd never miss a pitch?
Mm-hmm.
The only reason he missed a pitch because he's trying to hit the ball hard or trying to hit it to a certain area. But if he wanted to, he could make contact on every pitch. That's obviously an exaggeration, but I hear what he's saying. You get some of these, like, 20-pitch at-bats constantly fouling the ball
off. Terrible.
How would that change, though, if, all right, you get five foul balls?
It'd be interesting.
But think about the advantage it would be to the pitcher once you had your four foul balls.
Well, I think the pitcher has an advantage now because they throw so hard. And I think that the pitch clock favors the pitcher. You know what I heard, too, Peter?
What's that?
So the Knicks go on a run.
Oh, yeah. No, if the Knicks were to go
on a run. He was searching out a certain thing on the internet, and he got a little crutch going. Why don't you say throw support to a teammate?
But a lot of people,
that's what you do,
a lot of people say.
People are saying
that you two have really teamed up on me. It's like Tim McCarthy has gotten to you.
You're both in lockstep, and I don't like it. I think Peter will agree. We just call it as we see it.
Really? That's crap. Let's go to
it's strong.
Fred in the Bronx. Freddie, what's
up? Big Fred. Fred.
Gentlemen, good afternoon.
How are you?
I'm good. My godson's last name ends in a vowel. My goddaughter is a Puerto Rican Jew, and they both call me uncle.
There you go. See?
That's got all the bases covered.
But wait, Fred, I'll let you finish your point. Being their godfather, I could see that. But just being somebody that comes over the house a lot, calling them aunt or uncle.
That is very common. You're going to be on an island here.
But how does it hurt?
I will tell you that they both call other close friends of the family aunt and uncle as well.
Yeah, it's very common.
That's
super
common.
Duper common.
Michael's on an island here.
All right, fine.
Doesn't mean you're right or wrong. It just means that you're in the minority.
My children have one aunt and one uncle. Right. That's it.
Well, that's sad.
I didn't have more brothers or sisters, they have one aunt and one uncle.
Well, let me ask you this, and obviously this is not the case with your sister, because mm-hmm. you're very close to your sister.
Yes.
And your brother-in-law.
Yeah.
But let's just say for some reason you didn't get along with your sister and they lived in Hawaii.
Right. Still be Aunt Debbie.
Right, but with somebody barely close to you, yet people that you're very close to see all the time, that you can't call them aunt and uncle. Does that make any sense? It's a sign of affection that there are certain people that, even though they're not blood, are more family than people that are your blood.
It's not always affection. Uncle Fester was not an affection.
That is really a bizarre
He was
example.
A mess.
He was a mess.
And yet he still lived in the house. They made it work.
Go ahead, Fred. I'm sorry. I interrupted.
And Uncle Fester was a good-hearted guy.
Yes, yeah,
that's a good point.
And he could light a light bulb up by putting it in his mouth.
Right.
Well, that's his true value. Anyway, number two, I'm taught for over 30 years, and I coached for over 30 years, and I'm still coaching. So I've dealt with generations of parents, thousands and thousands of parents. And fathers have not gotten better over the years. Ask any teacher that's been around for a long time, without question, they have gotten worse. The main culprit is people wanting to be their kids' friends instead of their parents.
Beautifully said. I agree.
Wait, parents have gotten worse?
In terms of like and raising, I think. Listen, obviously,
in terms
you
of
shouldn't.
Being a parent,
you shouldn't. Yeah. You shouldn't strike a child. But in terms of like they want to be their buddy rather than discipline them, I don't think that's good.
Well, me neither. But I think he's missing what Don and I were trying to express. Not that I'm not saying kids are better behaved now, better in school now. What I'm saying is the role of dads being more involved than they were
right
30 years ago in generations that's, past. I think that's pretty straightforward and common. That doesn't equal parenting, but that's just a piece that a lot of people didn't have.
We grew up in a world. Correct me if I'm wrong, Mike. I think Peter will agree.
Of course I will.
That the father was the breadwinner. His job was to go out there, work, make money, come home. And the mom stayed home taking care of the kids. And they were the ones that had the relationship with the kids and the father. You always joked about father's mother or Jace. That's where that comes from, is that my job is to go make money. I'll play with the kids, but you take care of the kids and the house, and I'm going to go make the money. That's not the way it is now, and it's not the way it should be. You know, a father is expected to be as much of a parent and taking care of the kids and cleaning the house and doing all the things and maybe the mother's the breadwinner and all that. It's a different world.
You're
now
setting us up, man. You're setting us up.
How?
You know, because Don, you and I are already the simp snowflakes who would not immediately change the locks on our wives if they had an indiscretion. Just got another tweet about it. I always wish I could go when you have these debates. You're 1,000% on your cheating take, Michael. Sounds crazy to me. If I found out you got drunk and even held hands, we're through.
Bye, buddy. You have a great life.
Held hands.
I think so, too, yeah.
If Jody
held hands with somebody, listen.
What if the plane was going down? What if a plane was going down?
That's a different story. Listen.
He sees some inconsistency.
No, but they're holding hands because they're going to die. But if they're holding hands in a bar,
that's the last hand she's ever going to hold. She's done it.
Hey, listen, I danced with Jody at RJ's wedding.
Did you consider ending it?
No, because it was right in front of me.
You're saying if it gets kinky, then I'm sure you're saying you got
to
be there.
I actually came up with an answer for you because you were trying to push the thing. You don't own her. No. You know what I own? I own her fidelity, like she owns mine. That's what we own. Because why get married if you're going to cheat? Why? Why?
I agree.
Okay. I own her fidelity.
But what we're saying right now is, again, to stress to all the lunatic men who were listening to the show yesterday.
Who all agree with me.
Yes. Because they are insane and may hate their partners.
Maybe you're insane.
I know for a fact I'm not. We're many things, but we're pretty advanced emotionally. I firmly believe that. Because if it was an affair, I'd play along with you. I'd say, yeah, of course. Okay, you have the right if the person was ongoing lying. The fact of the matter is this. She never told a lie. We're not even talking about a lie. We're talking about a mistake and an immediate admission.
Gone.
I just think that means you're fine with your partner, but you could live without
him. Would you be done with Charlie or Callie if they made a mistake?
That's not a mistake. That's a ridiculous parallel. That is a break of trust.
So you would turn down... So the question we asked earlier, you asked us at least about Kate Beckinsale and Halle Berry in our cases.
Right.
The Aniston situation.
Right.
You're turning it down.
Well, the question was if somebody didn't know.
So you, okay.
Right. So nobody would ever know. Would I do it? Yeah. So would he. One indiscretion. But in terms of like, you're making out with somebody and then you come home and tell me and I'm supposed to be cool with it?
But coming home and telling you is the cool thing about
that's
it.
It's not cool at all. She's out.
Well,
I talked to her about it yesterday. She said, I totally understand. You'd be done too.
I'm not saying you guys don't like each other.
We love each other.
I think you're fine with each other. I think you're good with each other.
So if you're saying that if I loved her, then she could have an indiscretion. It's fine.
Oh, just you're going to be more apt to forgive.
I'm not a forgiving person.
Listen, the only reason to get married is fidelity.
This is the only reason to get
married. Well, I mean, if you're not going to be.
What about people with open marriages?
But that's cool. Then they have an open marriage. We don't.
So you treat it the way you treat a contract at a job?
So zero tolerance.
That's essentially what marriage is. It's a contract, isn't it?
So zero tolerance.
Zero tolerance.
But every indiscretion in life is just, it's a misstep. It doesn't mean that, you know, if I show up late to work, it doesn't mean that I disrespect work.
Was driving the car and she drove it into a pole. Are you okay? That's all I'd want to know.
Okay. If she was driving her car, God forbid, wasn't paying attention because she was distracted and killed someone,
right?
Would you leave her?
No.
That is so much worse than making out with someone. You'd have to deal with that for the rest of your life.
Why she does
not, and I'm not saying you
she
should
leave, to deal with
it. I'm not saying you should leave your partner if that happens, of course. But what I'm saying is, it's all lapse in judgment.
Well, you know what? You guys be you. I'm going to be me. She would leave me if I did the same thing.
Yeah, but you know, but you called us simpletons.
Yeah, you did.
You are simps.
No. Simps and simpletons are two different things. No,
you're simpletons. Well,
that's
no.
what a simp
well,
is, both. Is it?
What's a simp?
I assume I always take a simp to have the meaning of like you're pathetic. You would allow.
You are pathetic.
So the simpleton part is you're allowing someone to get over on you.
Right. Why?
But it's not getting over on you if they told you the truth.
You're both pathetic. That's all
I'm
saying. If
they tell you the truth.
But you know what? Why can't you just take a look at Twitter and see most people are on my side?
So Twitter is where you want to be the arbiter of what's right?
That's the only poll that we have.
There's a great rating system that's completely accurate.
Let's go to Bill in Pennsylvania. Bill?
You call Quinnipiac.
Yes, good afternoon, gentlemen. First of all, you guys are the very best.
Thank you.
Bill, would you walk out on your wife in a second if she kissed a man and admitted it to you?
I'd punch him out and throw her out.
There you go.
You'd throw her out and you never see her again.
Absolutely, he's right.
That's it.
I love you, Bill. What do you got?
Let me tell you what you guys haven't been through.
I was thinking about the baseball, the new rules that's come out. The only thing I think I'm going to miss with the throw, how many times they can throw over, because I grew up in an era watching Bob Gibson and others, not Bob Gibson, but the left-hand pitchers.
Koufax?
Kick them off.
Yeah, it's funny, yeah. Bill, because Jeff Nelson said it is going to affect left-handed pitchers the most. He said, let's look at Andy Pettit. Andy Pettit would make one or two throws to first base to set up the killer throw. Can't do that now.
Kill shot.
And that's really the only thing that gives me pause, everybody, because limiting the amount of throws over to first, you're essentially changing the game. But I also saw that as a delay tactic, and they had to stop it because sometimes people would throw over 5, 6, 7, 8 times in a game, and that's where that cliche came from. Speed slows down the game. So now it becomes calculating. I'm going to throw over once. I'm going to keep the second one in my back pocket. Or I throw over twice, and now the advantage goes to the base runner. You can still throw over, but if you throw over and you don't pick them off, it's a balk. I like it.
You know what I'd like to add? I'd like to add something to it.
Okay.
What always drives me nuts is the throw over when the guy hasn't even left the base yet.
Right.
Because he just wants to, if that happens, automatic ball.
Well, now it won't happen.
Well, no, it could happen because usually it's the guys that's not even going to steal. It's just a delay tactic.
Right, and it's called from the bench.
All right, so but you let's eliminate that. It's stupid. Throw over to guys that haven't even taken his lead yet.
Well, I don't think you're going to see that.
But you could see it if it's somebody that's no threat to steal.
Yeah, if anything, a pitcher will throw over just to get away from the 15 seconds.
Yeah.
Well, the 20 seconds. That would be the only reason to throw over if a guy's not a threat to steal. But the way it is now, kind of everybody's a threat to steal. With the bigger bases, 4.5 inches closer, the fact that you don't throw over more than twice, so it definitely is. I'm hearing really interesting things that there might be an ice pick coming up.
Oh, yeah.
Are you sure about this?
Very.
Thanks for listening to the Michael K. Show podcast.
Well, that's awesome.
Looking for more access to the show?
That's right, man.
Check us out on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter at TMKS ESPN.
Mother's Day is around the corner. Find the perfect gift for the mom in your life with a stunning piece of jewelry from Blue Nile. From timeless pearls to dazzling gemstones, Blue Nile has something she'll adore. Need it fast? Most items can ship overnight. Plus, enjoy guaranteed free shipping and returns. Don't miss our special Mother's Day deals. Save big on the season's most beautiful trends. For a limited time, get up to 50% off by going to BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
Ice picks. Now time for today's ice picks driven by Nissan. Let's have some fun. On my Bet MGM app, Patrick Kane in his debut for the Rangers, if he gets 2 goals, plus 625. Seems like whenever the Rangers make a big transaction, that player comes over and contributes. Let's go with that. Patrick Kane getting a couple of goals at plus 625. That's my ice pick, driven by Nissan. Hurry into your Nissan Thrill of the Drive sales event. Get a killer deal at your local Nissan store or NissanUSA.com today. Clock's ticking. Catch these offers while you can.
Let's go to the phones. Arsenio in the car. What's up, Arsenio?
How are you guys?
Good. You?
Good.
I'm sure you've heard that before. Every time he calls us.
Yeah, every single time. You guys, Bar, on everybody. So I was at the Garden yesterday, and I mean, as a Knicks fan, I mean, I'm excited we won, but, you know, it was just a beatdown from beginning to end.
Yep.
But these guys, man, watching these guys play, and, like, you know, I play basketball myself, and watching the game a lot lately, it's just, this is a fun team to watch play basketball, man. And, like, they really, really play hard every game. And Jalen Brunson, that is his new name, is really, really that guy. Like, this guy is just, like, he does everything, man. And it's just the way he plays basketball. It's just, like, as a New Yorker, I mean, he's just perfect for that team. I'm just excited. I just really wish this win streak was really happening at the end of May. In June, when, you know, Eastern Conference Finals, maybe into the finals, you win six in a row, seven now. But man,
yeah, but you know, by having this win streak now, they're putting themselves in a better position. Rather than being the sixth seed or in the play-in, we'd have to play one of the top three.
Right.
So, I mean, they're doing this is the right time for it to happen. They're gelling at the right time. And really, do you think that if they play the Celtics, the Sixers, or the Bucks, that they're going to win four in a row? They're going to have
that
kind of
thing.
No, I mean,
you're not playing the Nets in the second of back-to-backs in the conference final. You're playing good teams on the same schedule you're on. So I understand what he's saying. Are they peaking too soon? I guess that's always the concern. Because if the worm turns, Michael, in April, then it could be an early exit.
Let's go to JJ in North Carolina. JJ.
Double J.
Michael, Don, Peter, how you guys doing?
Great. You?
I'm all right. I was going to talk about these baseball rules, but frankly, I'm more interested in this parenthood conversation.
Okay.
My dad is about roughly the same age as you, Michael, and he's I heard you talk about, you know, the blank list a lot, or having your laminated list.
Right.
My dad has basically the same thing, and he calls it the blank list,
right. Sure.
Yeah. But besides that, I was thinking about this when it's kind of reminded me. I was thinking about this the other day. I don't know if you guys agree with me, but if you follow me here, I don't understand why people have name their kids the exact same name as themselves. I mean, how selfish can you be to give them the exact same first and middle name? Like, I don't understand this whole junior thing.
Well, I mean, it's to honor people. I mean,
but to honor yourself.
Don's not real. Well,
if it's junior,
right?
But sometimes you're doing it to honor the people above you.
Don did it to honor his grandfather, right?
Right.
But you did what?
Marco.
No. But
and
you said junior.
And Jay Lynn is.
They're not juniors.
No.
No, but Jay Lynn is after his mom and that's not and the Nancy's. Same
that's not at all what he was saying, though. He was specifically saying, "What's the point if Michael? If you decided you're the first Michael, and you're like, I'm going to name Mike. What's your middle name again?
Neil."
I'm going to name
really? You don't like it?
No, it's
Elliot?
Fine. It's fine. Elliot's great.
Yeah.
I'm going to name my kid Michael Neal K. Jr. Like, you're the first one to start. Like, he's just saying why.
Yeah, no, that's why. Maybe that's why my father didn't like juniors. It's like, it's almost like you're devaluing.
You mean the cheesecake? Terrific.
No, well, I have no interest in cheesecake.
I'm not a cheesecake fan.
Right.
Either. Tastes like sand.
Sand.
Yeah,
you've never had a good cheesecake.
So, but I understand
you,
that.
You really have no respect for me at all. You think I'm just a loser?
Was that an offensive thing to say?
Everything you disagree,
I said, you don't every, like. I said you obviously never had a good cheesecake.
You don't agree with everything. We are so totally different.
Well, makes for good talk radio.
We are. Yeah, we definitely see things not exactly eye to eye.
And you and Don, for some reason, are in lockstep, like you're lovers.
speaking of not seeing eye
I'm
to eye,
I'm not attracted to people.
All the wonderful K-Show listeners who pushed me to 319,000 on Instagram a couple weeks ago,
yeah.
After a post that I had this week that I guess shared some ideologies people didn't like, I'm right back to 318,000. So I need more of you to come back. But do me a favor, if you're going to follow me, and I appreciate it, just have an idea of who you're following.
Thanks for listening to the Michael K. Show podcast. Hear more of Michael, Don, and Peter live weekday afternoon starting at 3 on 98.7 ESPN in New York, the ESPN app, the TuneIn app, or on your smart speaker.
Hey, Alexa, play 98.7 ESPN.